This is KBOO Portland.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 0.
Never been done before. Never been done
in this
before.
Country. In this country.
D Hard Knock Radio hanging out with you this afternoon. We've been talking a lot about police defunding. We've been talking a lot about the COVID-19 virus. We've been talking about a lot of protests in the streets. And unfortunately, as we talk about these very important topics, there are things that are happening in back rooms that may have slipped in our coverage or in our understanding. One of them involves the moves being made by the U.S. Senate to really put an end to encryptions. And for anybody who's doing any sort of protest and you depend upon outlets like Signal or WhatsApp, this is going to be very important to you. Joining us on the phone line from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, Joe Mullen. Joe, let's talk about what's going on with the U.S. Senate and what are they trying to do, and why should people, in particular those who are out on the streets protesting, those who have a concern about government intrusion, why should they be concerned?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. The government is moving forward with a bill called the Earn It Bill, and there's going to be a Senate debate and vote in a committee this Thursday. What this bill does is give an unprecedented amount of authority to an unelected government commission that is going to be dominated by law enforcement, by federal law enforcement, and particularly it'll be largely under the control of Attorney General Bill Barr. So this bill was in the works before the Black Lives Matter protests began. But it's sort of shocking that it's moving forward at a time when an amazing number of Americans are showing they're concerned about police abuse and too much police power, because this would just take it to a next level. It would allow a police-dominated commission to, set rules of the road essentially for internet apps like the two you mentioned, WhatsApp and Signal.
One of the things we saw was at the Congressional Black Caucus. We saw people like Van Jones. We even saw this president sign police reform bills. How in the world did these reform bills get put forth without any mention or any sort of conversation about the Earn It Act?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it's kind of seems to be moving on its own track, right? I mean, the bill sponsors are on the Republican side. You have Lindsey Graham. On the Democratic side, you have Senator Blumenthal, Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut. And this has been on their wish list for a long time. So it seems almost like the Senate Judiciary Committee is having its separate conversation about getting police access to devices. It's a long conversation. I mean, these kind of the crypto wars and arguments over encryption have been happening for really a couple of decades now. But this is sort of the newest tactic, and the fact that there are, you know, there is a serious conversation about police reform now, and there should be on every level, the federal, state, and local. But it hasn't stop this from moving forward, which is, you know, it's surprising. Let's put it that way.
Joe, you guys over at the Electronic Frontier Foundation have always been on the cutting edge in terms of bringing to light abuses, potential abuses, et cetera, et cetera. You all have been very good at pushing back and even laying out strategies for us to follow. On the article in your site, you talk about this is worse than we think. And that's saying something. Talk a little bit about what has really shocked you guys about this bill, and what can people listening do to push back on this?
Yeah, well, the most important thing you can do is you can contact your members of Congress, in particular senators, today and tell them that you oppose Earn It. That's really important. Both of the California senators, Kamala Harris and Dianne Feinstein, both sit on the Senate Judiciary Committee, so they will get a vote this week. So that's the most important thing you can do. And in addition to Earn It, another bill has been introduced that's incredibly even worse than Earn It. It just essentially says that, you know, law enforcement needs to be provided access to encrypted devices, period. It just kind of says the quiet part out loud. That's a bill that has only Republican sponsors, so we don't necessarily think it would gain any traction in the Democratic-controlled House. But we have put on record our, you know, concerns about that bill. It's outrageous, and what we're directing people towards is to speak up about Earn It, because that's going to be voted on this week. And we know that when police get special access to our private messages, you know, there's a long history of abuse in this country. There's a long history of abusing surveillance against civil rights activists and protesters. And the abuses don't stop at our borders. Once they tweak the software, it'll be used in Hong Kong. It'll be used in China. It'll be used in Russia and other countries.
And so you're talking about just the surveillance, the history that really crippled, you know, black organizations was COINTELPRO, you know, by the FBI and J. Edgar Hoover. So this basically takes this to the 10th degree, makes it legal. And what I'm really surprised about is that the Earn It bill has Democratic sponsors on it. I mean, what does it look like to you? Are they leaning towards having, you know, an end to encryption, or are they pushing back, the Democrats?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I mean, one thing, in the hearing committee on this bill, Senator Blumenthal, who's one of the sponsors and is a Democrat, has said that his reason for it is that he wants tech companies to do more to fight against sexual abuse of children that could exist on their platforms. And he has said the bill's not about encryption, and that the word encryption doesn't show up in the bill, which is true in a literal sense. But what does show up in the bill is a 19-person commission, totally dominated by law enforcement, that will make rules that internet companies will need to follow, or they'll lose their legal protections. So the reason we talk about encryption and talk about how law enforcement is looking to gain access to private messages isn't because we have a theory about it. It's because we know that that's their priority. William Barr has said it over and over again, and he's working with other he said it together with law enforcement officials from other countries, including the UK, including Australia, They've talked about how they want to get access to more data. And so it's not a theory we have that he thinks law enforcement should have a special backdoor into encrypted devices and encrypted messages. It's a thing he's asked for repeatedly. And there are Democrats who have supported that. I mean, they're not friends of Bill Barr, but we are concerned that this would continue under a Democratic administration. I mean, Feinstein in particular, it's unfortunate. She really hasn't seen eye to eye with us on these things. I mean, she has supported special access for police to private messages, and they think they can make a backdoor in encryption that'll only be used by the good guys, and that just doesn't exist.
Wow, this is very disturbing. Joe Mullen, we appreciate you taking time out. Again, what would the marching orders be for our listeners as we close out? Tell them the two or three things you want them to do. I know you mentioned call the senators, but you know, maybe you could just repeat or add on if there's anything that they need to do.
Yeah, go to act.eff.org, and we have a simple tool. You can use it to email your senators. It's very easy. And right now we're focusing on email because, frankly, we're not sure how well the call lines will be working because of the COVID-19 situation. We're worried about those calls getting rerouted. But you certainly can give a phone call, too. But the email action only takes 1 minute, and it's right on our website. And that's the most important thing you can do now, and tell your senators that you don't want to give police access to your messages, and they should be looking at police reform, not special privileges for police.
And again, that's acteff.org.
That's right.
We appreciate it. Joe Mullen, thank you very much. We're going to take a break here on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
Hard Knock, turn the speakers in your car up. Quality program, turn in for the real talk. Don't stop. EMN, at it again. Sandman, Daddy Man, Chris, Juwan, Cam. Stimulating ill conversation. Anything else is just imitation. Simulation. Step into the zone. The Bay Area zone. Hard Knock Radio. Let's go. Big shout out to Nita and Davey D. Yeah, right. Feel me. Yeah. Honing down at Hard Knock Radio.
Hard Knock Radio.
Kind of crazy though. Oakland stand up.
Yeah. Stand up.
Ensemble Big Night Wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bellevue. Come on. Check out.
Why every novice think they hard knock when they ain't gone all in and ain't paid the cost of the fee? Hating that they made they beats, trying to eat till they belly from the steel gray beef. Say please, maybe it'll save you a seat at the table with a great bread making a speech. Say some peace to the lovers I made with a piece. Hey, there's some shade on your name in the street. Let's go. It ain't David G.
Real Talk Radio.
You and I rocking with the best in the West.
West Coast. Monday through Friday.
Sing it, Chris.
East Coast.
Davey D, Hard Knock Radio, hanging out with you this afternoon. Want to talk to a good friend of the show, a stalwart individual from the community who really has been transformative with the work him and his organization does. We're talking about Dorsey Nunn from All of Us and Nunn, Legal Services for Prisoners with Children, and the guy that when you see him coming, get ready, because change is about to happen. And so, Dorsey, man, we're in the middle of historic times, and it seems like you and the folks that you roll with are getting ready to rise up to this occasion.
Oh, you definitely are. You know, on July 1st, we're in Sacramento, and what we've been doing probably for the last 2 weeks or so is working, better than 2 weeks, of working on how do we show and challenge that narrative that they keep putting out there that there's only a few bad apples.
So you're talking about cops.
Killing people is a few bad apples. You know, and the reality of it is if they were a bad apple, they started off from a bad tree because they were the slave patrols before they was anything else. And along the way, what we did for the research, I think we researched 5 to 6 years or something like that, just in the state of California. And what we recognized that there was over 500 homicides at the hands of the police.
Wow.
And when I say homicide, I'm not saying murder. I'm saying police killing folks.
Yeah.
You know, and what we decided to do initially, the first idea that came up, at least for me, was see can I could get secure the photographs and the names of those 500 people.
And then now, how difficult was that? Because I know when I've done research to find out in California who's been shot and who hasn't by police, if you don't catch it the day of or you don't know the exact name, it's literally erased from the internet. Did you find it difficult to track those names down?
Yeah, once I got into it, I started coming up with organizations. Okay. Because they've been out there functioning since probably Ferguson.
Right, right.
You know, people start trace that stuff. And if you don't get on top of it, like you said, you don't like have somebody that's posted up, they right. will kill us and it just go to being invisible. Or they will kill us and call it homicide, call it some other thing that other than they didn't kill us.
Right. The other thing that I found that happens is that the initial stories that they tell change. If I don't know if you've seen that, but I know when Demarius Hogg, for example, was shot over here off of Lakeshore, you know, they had a whole crazy timeline that didn't match up with the pictures that I took. You know, they said something happened at such and such a time, and, you know, we're looking at the pictures, and we're like, nah, this didn't happen. And the guy that was shot in Walmart, you know, the initial thing was that they shot him with a taser twice. Then they shot him because he didn't respond. Then they changed the timeline. It's crazy how they do it.
Yeah. To the most part, we didn't even get, like, the people killing us in the Walmart. We didn't even pull down the people that's shooting us on prison yards either.
Wow. And you know, you've so, got 500.
So it's like we're absent those things, you know. And, you know, the other thing that we recognize, at least I recognize, is that the list of the dead is so long. You really, if you go to a funeral, whether it be George Floyd, the list is so long just in California, you never could honor your dead. Or else you'd be sitting there reading it, probably like we're going to do it on the first, because we're going to be reading, in addition to having photos of people who've been murdered, and we had those taken to the printer, and we had them blew up to 20 by 24, you know. Right. And we start asking organizations who were holding families in place, who loved ones was murdered, could they come and attend the rally? Because what we want to do is honor those families, because most part when they kill, they die invisibly. Most part when they kill is before we even talk about had the police been acting out before. What they start doing is dirtying up your reputation. He right. was an addict. He was drunk. He was high. He been to prison or something like that. You know, as right. opposed to examining the person who shot you, the police just often come out and defame you and defame and take away from your character as if you was that way. You know, stuff that we want to discuss is because I think that when it came to Atlanta, the brother that they shot while running away with the taser,
right?
You know, they're going to say, well, he was armed and dangerous. You know, that's how armed and dangerous looked to them.
Right, right. He ran away, and then they sullied his name, you know, mm-hmm. just like they did with George Floyd. They sullied his name to make it seem like that particular incident was deserving of him being killed. The work that you and others have done, when I said transformative, I just wasn't making praise, but one of the most challenging unions in the state of California was the Prison Guards Union. And you guys, over years, you know, especially being formerly incarcerated, really knew the strength of those unions and how they get down more than most. When it comes to holding police accountable and taking down the policeman's Bill of Rights, they're formidable. No politician will touch this, at least from the ones that I talk to. They just won't touch it. You all have been able to take on these tough unions and get things done. What is it? How were you able to do it? And do you think you'll be successful in this venture?
Legal services for prisons with children is a unique apparatus, right?
Okay.
Because like you could have, I'm you know, I very seldom mention it. I'm executive director of a public interest law office.
Right.
And probably the thing that makes us unique is we're willing to put all oars in the water. Mm. It's not like we leave the oars out. So we ain't gonna just like, if we're gonna get into a litigation strategy, you can be rest assured we're probably gonna be doing a grassroots organizing strategy attaching it with it. And we're probably gonna do some political strategy around what do we do politically.
Right.
Now here's some stuff that you're familiar with. You remember when in Oakland and Berkeley in the area they was trying to do gang injunctions?
I remember that very well.
You know, so the lawyers told us that it wasn't a winning case.
I remember them saying that too. It was
right?
locked and loaded and done.
So the litigation strategy also gave us the opportunity to organize. And what we eventually did was that we didn't necessarily win in court. What we did was replace the city manager.
Right. So you found ways to get around that.
Yeah. So if you're using all R's in the water, it's right. That way, right? So when everybody said defund the police, and that's what they're claiming right now, what we did was say defund the police and defund CDCR, because between both of those entities, they're charging the state over $31 billion a year.
What is CDCR? Just for
California
people?
Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. They're clocking about $14 billion a year.
Wow.
You know, and like my head spins when I start thinking, because like, you know, if I had a statement that was a real accurate statement, sometimes they kill you real quickly, like they did George Floyd, knee on the neck.
Right.
And sometimes they kill you slowly by giving you an indeterminate sentence, 25 years to life like that.
Right.
You know, then they kill you a little bit every day. So like, you know, if I have my way, because we still into putting the program together, what I want to do is just to bring five brothers up there who all done served over 25 years.
Right.
And some of us started that sentence when we were like 17.
Wow.
And those who are older, when they get out, they have did something like took their entire work life. So in the event that you do some of those 30s and those 40s and you go in at 25, when you get out, you haven't worked enough to even qualify for Social Security. So you basically walking around the streets with a minimum or little or no income. And most of the time they give you that $200 gate money on the way out and tell you to be happy and go start your new life, which is sort of difficult to do if you're 68 years old. And you're not competitive as an employer. Like I said, I'm an executive director of a public interest law office. So at this point, I got a staff of about 27 people.
Right.
You know, so I know this stuff, you know, like the difference between what I have to pay for medical insurance for a person that's 25 and the difference I got to pay for a person medical insurance who's 55. So, you know, it's not like the way that we got this system set up that has encouraged you to hire older people.
Wow.
You know, so it's like, and I got a lot of those older people, you know, because they done walked off those 25 years and those 26 years and those 27 years, you know, and
right.
I don't see them as throwaway people. They were smart in prison and they equally smart out here.
So you bring this narrative when you talk to some of these legislatures up in the state capitol. How do they react to this when you sit down and you break it down the way that you're doing?
Most of the time, I'm not in the Capitol as much as I used to be, but I hired a formerly incarcerated person that he walked off 24 years and made him a policy director.
Wow.
Because like, you know, because the reality of it is the older you get, the shorter patience you have, you know.
Right.
So I've got an intolerance for bullshit, so I don't like going up to Sacramento that much. Because like, you know, you would get me and you'd hit me on one of those notes.
Right.
And sometimes when you're sitting out talking to people, they assume because you're formerly incarcerated that you know less than they know about a subject matter.
Right,
and
right.
You'd be like, man, you know, or they'll send you to an aide that's in a second year of law school. It'd be like, can you make a decision? And it'd be like, no, you can't make a decision, you know. And, you know, you remember Elder Freeman?
Yes, the late yeah. Elder Freeman, yes.
Yeah, we named a whole policy fellowship after him because, like, I can't keep running in there. I'm allergic to the police and politicians.
Right.
So it was good when I was young. I had the tolerance, Right now, what we need to do is raise people up so they can actually, when we say speak in your own voice, what do we really mean? We're going to train them to actually push public policy and do some of that stuff. Right. What we're going to do is speak in your own voice. We're going to train formerly incarcerated people to major in communications. So we're doing a whole bunch of things with legal service for prisoners and children, and all of us are not, you know.
Right.
So like when people arrive to the demonstration, they won't even recognize how much level, how much work went into what they, you know, they don't recognize that at 7 o'clock this morning, I'm ordering porta potties.
Right, right.
So, you know, they don't recognize in order to keep our families safe, what we needed to do was not march them around without a permit, because some of these people are still grieving. Because at a certain point, when they kill your loved one and you don't get no justice, your grief is sort of like impeded, especially if they went down to, I killed your brother, and by the way, he was an asshole. So, you know, so like that's how they get at us, you know. So first they kill one of our loved ones, then they come in there talking crap about who this person was to them, as opposed to recognizing that this person was somebody that we value, that was important to the community and all the rest of that stuff.
Right.
So like we get out there and we decided to actually bring families in. You know, we got families coming in from places like Los Angeles, you know. But, you know, being that we're in the middle of this pandemic and people out demonstrating, we really encouraging people to show up, because we already had 500 photographs blew up. And we, you know, when we started out, we said, I wonder what they would think about if we surrounded the entire Capitol holding up pictures of our loved ones that have been murdered over the course of the last 5 years. Maybe they could see that it's not just a few isolated incidents. Maybe they could see that they shooting us on a regular basis, choking us on a regular basis, or beating us to death. And then when it comes to the question of being armed, the research shows that, you know, they're considered somebody armed if they got a tree branch.
Yeah.
And they gun them down. If they got a little small knife, if they got, you know, I done seen people fight people in a bar and they've been armed with a knife and nobody pulled out a gun and shot them. They may hit them with a chair or a bottle, but it don't immediately mean that it automatically means death, you know?
Well, it's interesting. I remember a couple of years ago, Dorsey, we're talking with Dorsey Nunn from All of Us and Nunn Legal Services for Prisoners with Children, if you're just tuning in. I remember I did some research because I wanted to see when the police kept saying there's a war on him. So I said, let me see how this war looks. And I think it was maybe a year or so ago, a couple of years ago, I went through using their data because they recorded everything nationwide. So nationwide, they had something like 148 cops that were killed, right? And then you broke down the numbers. So more than half of those cops that were killed weren't killed by, you know, somebody else. They died in car accidents, but that's put into their memorial thing. So you take half of that off. And then, you know, they had, I think that year, they had like 7 or 8 police dogs, right, which are considered police. So you put that number aside. And so it came down from like 170 or something like that to or whatever the number was that I had, down to about 45. And then you started breaking it down. So like 7 out of the 45 happened in Puerto Rico, right? You know, so that whatever was going on there. And then you started doing it, you know, you try to figure out what the race is. So basically when it came down to it, us as black people, out of that 100 and whatever they had was like maybe 7 or 8, right? And then the other people that were doing most of the killings was white. And so, you know, you did that the following year and you got similar numbers, but the narrative that was put out is that they are under siege, they're at war, cops are dying left and right, and then every once in a while they're able to look at, you know, some crazy out-of-the-way incident. Might have been Lavelle Mixon here or the brother in Dallas, but for the most part, the numbers of them dying versus us was just astronomical. You're talking about what you found was 500. You know, one year it's like 1,100, 1,200. I think it's 74 people been shot and killed since George Floyd, you know, was murdered. You know, so these numbers are crazy, but the narrative doesn't reveal that at all.
Yeah, and they reinforce the narrative.
Yeah.
By having these massive funerals.
Yes. Yes.
So they reinforce the narrative. They will hang up the freeway. You know, one year we did A Quest for Democracy in Sacramento, and it was the same year that the police was holding their law enforcement gathering.
Right.
You know, and you know, I thought it was going to suppress our numbers because you're like, you don't want to be hanging out there because there's more to me that's allergic to them.
Right.
So like, but we still showed up anyway because we had already there. But you know, they, you know, the legislature wasn't coming out to speak to us. It was definitely running towards them.
Right.
You know, and in fact, when we do this event on the 1st of July, we doubt if we get more than one or two politicians that's going to come out.
Really?
You know, really.
So they
seriously doubt. If we get five politicians and we out there starting at 11 o'clock to probably 4 o'clock or 4 or 5 o'clock, if we get five politicians to show up and say, we think that this issue is of such significance, we need to speak to. And by the way, Davey, the only people that we took pictures of is people of color. Because this is not a colorblind situation. So when they say Black Lives Matter, I think that statement is aspirational.
Wow.
Not the reality. The reality is that the percentage, the numbers in which we're being shot is disproportionate to the population that we are. Now, and I also need to say that when it comes to Latinos, they're a larger body of people than the state of California, and they're killing the hell out of them too.
Yeah.
So like me and George Galvez, we start, you know, when I first person I called was George, you know, hey George, this is some crazy stuff, you know, and for the most aggressive people that I know on the face of earth, it could be law enforcement. And every time they kill us, they say they were in fear for their lives. You know, if you're in that much fear and that cowardly, then stop doing the job and let somebody in there that can actually implement reasoning.
So this comes down to really getting some sort of legislative change. And in the past, if you're talking about folks are afraid to meet with you, what can be done to make them meet with you now? And let me put this into context, Dorsey. We still have almost every day people protesting around here. We're not even talking about the rest of the country, because they are. We had the big successful march in East Oakland on Saturday. You had a big old caravan that went on for like 20 minutes right around here in the lake yesterday on Sunday, right? And the list just goes on and on, where people are showing up at the school board meeting last week and saying defund the police, going to city council and getting upset when five members refuse to do what the people asked them to do, even though you've seen 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, the ports being shut down. You're going up to Sacramento. What is it with these folks that they're seeing all these people and then they're not responding in a way that we need them to respond?
This is what I can tell you. I've been at this 38 years.
Okay.
Straight up. So if you get in a fight with me, pack a lunch.
I hear you.
Because like it ain't going away. It ain't going away. And and I'm building an apparatus that will sustain longevity in his fight. So like, you know, so when we ask them to defund the police and CDCR, we're going to be making that demand when everybody else probably going to get tired. When they don't want to meet with us, I'm saying they won't come out publicly and meet with us because they're scared that the police is going to, police union and the correctional peace officers union is going to tag them. You know, some of the things that we're trying to do is tank the money. You know, so if they're not going to accept drug money for Pookie and Ray Ray, why should we allow them to continue to put money in the pot to support the district attorney and a law enforcement, because they feeding off of that money? So we need to take that money and figure out, is it a conflict of interest that this organized body of people, through a freedom of speech, when at the reality of it is that they buying law enforcement is buying the politicians in a greater number. In addition to that, what makes this moment unique is the breadth in terms of the demonstrations. So they may not be caving right away. But then, you know, we need to train people who are out there on the streets that this is more than a one-day occasion,
right?
because like if they had studied any history, it probably took them 381 days to actually get the ride on the front of the bus. So what makes us think that change is that instant?
Right. Well, it took 10 years to get the Oakland police out the school. But, you know, the Black Organizing Project stuck with it. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Dorsey.
And I need to say, I stopped by the Black Organizing Project. So if you listen to this thing, I stopped by to invite you into the party. But I haven't been able to catch up with you. So please don't come on down to Sacramento, because I would love to give you the mic.
Yeah.
Because y'all did some real good work.
Let me ask you this, Dorsey. Many times people have slowed down when the news cameras aren't there and it isn't being talked about day in and day out and it's not the topic du jour. How do you all manage to keep it going? I know you said pack a lunch, but you know, how do you keep everybody motivated? Because this type of fight that you're talking about, Wednesday will be, you know, everybody's going to want to take a picture. There's going to be an optic to see you all standing around the Capitol with all those pictures. Everybody will be there. But it's the day after and the day after and the week after and the month after that you all stick with it. How are you able to keep that momentum up when everybody else has moved on?
Hey, David, the real interesting thing in terms of the people whose pictures we display, some of those families are that wants to come and participate are 8, 9, and 10 years out. They ain't got relief yet.
Wow.
The families, what you call it. Now, for all of us and none, for all of us and none, that's an organization of formerly incarcerated people fighting for the full restoration of our rights.
Right.
We know something in particular, right? The thing that we know is that they've been hunting us.
Right.
And I grew up in Menlo Park and East Palo Alto before Facebook got here. And all the land that they sit on used to have pheasants and rabbits and other animals. And then when we were so poor, we used to eat some of those rabbits and go out there and hunt those rabbits. So
right.
We'd be out there hunting rabbits all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We may occasionally shoot a pheasant.
Right, right.
Look at it this way. For some of us, that's all of us and none, they hunted us. And they hunted us every day, right? They may occasionally kill a pheasant.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been dying on a regular basis all the time. And a lot of those deaths was clearly unjustified, and they didn't even have to justify killing us. The only thing they had to say is that we had a record. The only thing they had to say was that we was loaded. The only thing they had to say is that we was full of alcohol. That's all they had to say. And somehow it goes away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in addition, like when they beating us up and we fighting back, you get in one or two good punches, and then suddenly they figure like they can milk that thing for disability forever. And you go there and you wind up with an attempted murder, and they
right,
then
right.
stomp you to death. You know, so like as an old black man, as on more than one occasion, I put my hand on my nuts and the other hand around my neck so they wouldn't kill me or stomp my nuts, because somehow they must have pain to see me. Because at a certain point, they still, you know, adhering to stereotypes, because a lot of them are racist, you know. And then they push out this notion, when we say defund the police, is that everybody think that we need to function the way that we function. And if we don't have the police, everybody goes mad. Well, I can actually tell you, I just stayed in affluent areas as well as areas challenged by income. And I can tell you in affluent areas, I very rarely seen the police. So if they was there, all those peoples didn't go mad.
Right.
So they didn't just go out because the police ain't here. You know, I'm sort of surprised right now when I hear that they was looting in Walnut Creek.
Right.
You know, so they suddenly didn't go mad. I think the truth pissed them off that, you know, and I had a brother by the name of Van Jones when I was in that movie 13. At
right.
the end of that movie, Van holds up and said the thing that changed was the cell phone, because we can capture them basically. The cell
right.
phone changed the circumstances. If they hadn't filmed that issue, George Floyd would have been a justifiable homicide.
Oh, yeah. They would have brought up his record and said...
They would have brought
up
his record, you know.
And you know what they would have left out? They would have left out that he was in Minneapolis because he you know, he had joined a church group and was, you know, kind of moving in a whole other direction. They would have left that narrative out. And not that it even mattered for the circumstances, but if we're playing, you know, if you're talking about narratives, then, yeah.
He done went from accused on that $20 to being convicted on that $20. He did something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he did something wrong. It ain't like we found that he did something wrong, just the allegations. And if anybody noticed, when they approached the car, he's sitting in an SUV Mercedes.
Hmm. I didn't realize that. I didn't peep that.
So if it was a misunderstanding, how come you didn't ask him for the 20 back? Hey, homeboy, right. This ain't... That's what he was in, I think, a blue SUV Mercedes.
Wow.
That's how it looks, you know, but nobody taking into consideration, homeboy could have had the 20. You know, and David, I got a pocket full of 20s right now. I'm not looking at how to change. Look, I'm not holding it all up. I'm not scanning it. When they give me change, they give me change.
Right.
So, like, it's probably a whole bunch of people. And a lot of people that's turning in $20 don't know that the money is counterfeit.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's so, especially, you know, you're not looking for it like that. I never checked.
Yeah, you know,
especially during a pandemic, you know, I want to do the least touching if I can. You know, you grab it, toss it over.
In your pocket. Hope you got jeans to wash the pants.
Yeah.
You know, so, but you know, like, what makes this thing extremely important is because we outreaching people of color, because everybody been devalued in this movement. We think they should have a voice about being centered also. So if we're doing most of the dying, we're encouraging people of color to show up that actually can make a claim on the legitimate thing that they're being murdered. Now everybody is all, you know, they're just overwhelmed by the support that we're getting from our white allies. And right. I'm here on KPFA encouraging our white allies to attend. But I've also been doing outreach to a whole bunch of organizations that right. actually have people of color at the center of it, because we need to actually step up and say, when everybody else, because allies seem to get tired fast.
Yeah.
So when everybody else get exhausted, they still gonna be killing us. So we need to come up with a strategy. So we need to figure out, like, you know, how do we get past a qualified immunity, because these peoples can kill us and we can't necessarily even get real redress in civilly. Or right. We can't charge them civilly. How do we actually impact? What do oversight bodies look like? Do they have teeth? Do they have the ability of subpoena power? Do they have things that makes difference? So that's why I'm saying it's not an overnight fight, because we need to define the parameter. And we need to tell people, when we say defund the police and defund law enforcement, David D., we didn't rent it a mobile a billboard, because we think we need to define that, because every time we say defund the police, a lot of people start shaking, like, you know, immediately people are going to break into your house.
Yeah.
You know? No.
You know, one of the things when we talk about what police have cost us is the amount of money that we wind up paying because of their negligence in these settlements. $74 million out of Oakland, $60 million out of San Francisco, similar numbers in San Jose, something like $120, $130 million in L.A., et cetera, et cetera. When you're talking to these people, will this be brought up to them? And somehow that, hey, if we're going to be spending this money, it needs to come out of their kitty. You know, I mean, if I'm costing you a lot of money, you know, we have to make a decision about my behavior or what I'm exposed to, because I'm paying for this. You're paying for this with your taxes. We're all paying for this, and we're getting killed. You know, so it just seems to be totally unfair, starting with Oakland, and it's $74 million over a 10-year period, and we can go on down the list. But,
what this moment does is give us a direct opportunity to talk about what you just raised.
Yeah.
Because we've been talking about it through a side conversation. Like when we ban in the box, we sitting in the city council, and the first part of the meeting is when they have that consent agenda. Right. And in that consent agenda, you can hear them paying these folks. You know, and we jumping up saying, y'all keep saying that we're a liability. It don't look like we're the one costing you money.
Yeah.
If you hire us, we're a liability, and you kick out just kicked out $3 million because y'all didn't like beat somebody damn near to death or killed somebody, that's more likely to come up on a calendar when they putting out money. That's coming up first, right?
Right.
And you ain't hearing like, oh, we got sued because we hired a little Ray Ray and Ray Ray acted out. We ain't getting those kind of suits. When we was examining the question of negligent hiring, when we fighting for ban the box, we raising that issue, but we was there to ban the box, so we wasn't raising that issue about like, man, y'all spending an extraordinary large sums of money on misbehavior on the police,
right?
You know, and we wasn't trying to actually shake the police away to actually start opposing us directly, because we was fighting private sector's employers. We didn't want them to link up, but now, you know, hey, we'll fight them too right now, you know, because at the end of the day, they still killing us, and we can't seem to stop them from killing us. And when they shot the brother in Arizona, the first thing he did, I got him, just like he used to do when we were hunting rabbits.
Wow. We've been talking with Dorsey Nunn from All of Us and Nunn Legal Services for Prisoners with Children. Wednesday, July 1st, there will be a gathering at the state capitol in Sacramento. Are you going to caravan, or people are just making their way up?
Hey, check this out. We have a meeting spot at West Oakland BART, and people are going to be meeting at West Oakland BART at 7 o'clock. We had already rented a couple of vans, and if you got a vehicle and you got the ability to sit next to somebody who's concerned about this issue and you want to drive your own car, please meet us at West Oakland BART. So if in the event that we overrun with the numbers of people coming, because we didn't been circulating this pretty widely at this point.
Right.
You know, we got people being bussed in from at least San Bernardino and Bakersfield.
Wow.
So we asked some people to gather if they're going to drive down, caravan down, got room in the car, meet us at West Oakland BART.
Right.
We already didn't acquire 3,000 masks to give people, because like when we first started this, we was only starting this, and all we figured like what we did was measured the circumference of the state capitol and how many people would take the surround that standing 6 feet apart while wearing a mask.
Wow.
You know, it turned into a different event at this point, because people started jumping in and saying, man, we down, man. They've been killing us. So we already know that, you know, it's going to be more than that. But, you know, then we start inviting family members in, and they start asking us questions like, you think I can hold up the name of my loved one?
Wow.
You know, and we said, in addition to that, our research said, if you got a picture that's not a mug shot, send the picture and we'll blow it up
right
for you, right? Then we get into stuff like when you start getting into the organizing, which, you know, I don't want to bog people down. When we took the issue of could you blow up these photographs, we took it to FedEx. They wanted to charge us $18,000.
Really?
Wow. Seriously. And put it on plasterboard. That's how this stuff is rolling, baby. So then we had to go around and find a small business that was actually doing printing, and they were starving, and we worked out a deal.
Right.
Right.
Good, good.
Because at a certain point, you know, so it's like, you know, like I said, this morning I woke up, you know, I need porta potties, because they may not let people in the Capitol to use the bathroom.
Right, right.
You know, they could be, I think the assembly could be in recess, so they probably got some of that part slow. So, like, stuff that we recognizing, you know, give me 4 porta potties to put on 10th Street.
No, that makes sense.
You know, so, like, you know, so it's like one of the things that you asked me, I can tell you, as based on the experience and the longevity, we actually know how to do this stuff.
No, you got all
so
the.
So, it's more than just, you know, the feeling part of it. Along the way, we didn't acquire a set of experiences that allows us to organize in a real way. And so for people who are in the middle of this stuff, you can come in, it'll be a safe space for you to bring your kids if they're wearing a mask. You're gonna be in an outdoor setting. We're gonna provide you water. We're even thinking about like, how do we get food trucks in there? So in the event that while people standing out there, they don't have to go that far to get some food. I can't tell you, like we do at Quest for Democracy, I'm gonna pay for the meal. Because at Quest for Democracy, I would pay for the meal and the hotel.
Right.
You know, this time around, in these short times, the short turnaround period didn't give me the opportunity to raise money. to do a lot of that stuff. But you know, we are raising money for the vans. We are paying for the bus. The bus is coming out of what you call it. We are paying for the sound system. So anyway it goes, it's a cost. But you know, then the real question is what would you do for freedom and safety? And my answer is I would do everything.
No,
you know, will you show up and do everything? Will you show up and hold up a sign to somebody that you don't know that's been killed by the police? Will you show that it's more than just a question of a few bad apples, as opposed to the tree could have been rotten from the very beginning?
Man, you know, Dorsey, we look forward to this thing on Wednesday. 7 o'clock, people will be meeting at the West Oakland BART station to caravan up. What time, if people just want to go on their own, will you expect to be at the Capitol?
At 11 o'clock, you know. And some of us is probably, you know, some of us is probably flying in early because we got to actually make sure the sound system there and all the rest of it. But for just the regular folks that's just coming for the rally and the demonstration, we're going to kick this thing off at 11 o'clock. And probably before then, we probably have our brothers that are our neighbor's brother doing drumming. Then ask people to circle the Capitol. Then we're going to come back and we're going to start reading the names of our dead, because a lot of them haven't been read. And the only side of the story that you got is the side of the story that this was a desperate, crazy person that nobody loved. And that's not necessarily the case, because those people they're killing belong to somebody. They belong to our community. They belong to their family. And they deserve to be acknowledged as dying, especially in these times when we know collectively right now that the police has been getting away not with just homicide, they've been consistently getting away with murder.
Something to end on there. Dorsey Nunn bringing the heat, bringing the fire. It's going to be in Sacramento Wednesday, 11 o'clock if you go up there by yourself, 7 a.m. at West Oakland BART if you want a caravan up there with them. But they are definitely about the business of changing these laws, holding these elected officials accountable, putting their feet to the fire, and letting them know that they should not be scared of these police unions, but they have to start dismantling these laws that have allowed police to shoot with impunity and not be held accountable. So, Dorsey, we appreciate it, and we will see you on Wednesday.
Hey, thank you, David D., for the opportunity, and thank you, KPFA. And I need to say this. When I was locked down in the deepest part of DVI, when I was 19 and 20 years old, the only news that got to me that I listened and I thought was of value came out of KPFA.
There you have it. Serving the community in ways that many people don't always know and may not fully appreciate. But Dorsey, we appreciate you. We're going to take a break on Hard Knock Radio. We'll be right back.
They must think it's a game. Well, I don't get it. I'm not quite entertained. They keep on laughing when I look in the frame. This is my show, so I send them the flames. Fire next time, I can end you today. You asking why? Cause police can't behave. They stomp on our necks and they sing to our pain. I hope this track bangs and bangs and bangs. I pledge allegiance to the murder of innocent. Black or brown, then your death is more imminent. Losing breath like a challenge with cinnamon. Police and racist men, I thought those were synonyms.
How could you say that? Times are way better than like way back. Get off your knee, just shut up and dribble, and you must remove that wave cap.
Looks like I struck a nerve. Freedom of speech, so for me, is it just absurd? Cause I'm black, you want me to rest in dust or dirt? Money only reason you won't say that other word. But anyway, every day I tune in to the news and see the new abusement. Why they wanna tie us up? We the country's loose in. Can I say that I'm surprised they don't think I'm human?
Hey, 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 ho, 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 Hard Knock Radio. East, west, north, south, conectados. Every set, every hood, barrio to barrio. Y'all stand up, stay righteous. Speaking to the thugs, one love. We know where y'all at. Top, Brown Buffalo. It's a hard knock life, gotta pay your bills. They want a song about bling, but it ain't real. We speak to the kids and the OGs. Organize, mobilize, be the change you wanna see. 415s bumping Hard Knock Radio. Brown Buffalo, all up in your stereo. Yo, and to the youth, live life like it's golden. Go dumb, go hard, but don't forget where you're going. We from the hood, so it's all to the good. Let us know this, what you're feeling is right. Let's get this understood. It's only one reason why we here today. We try
trying to make real music so the people can relate.
Learning from these hard knocks, slipping in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side. Learning from the hard knocks, living in these hard knocks, listening to hard knocks, questioning the poor guy. Learning through these hard knocks, living for this hip hop, listening to hard knocks, ripping to the hard side.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio brings you a public service announcement from the Pacific Northwest Society of Jungian Analysts. The PNSJA are established counselors, currently offering up to 3 video counseling